Hey everyone, and welcome to our call today. It's 2 p.m. my time, but I think we can wait one more minute for other people to join the call. So it's now 1 minute past the hour. So again, welcome everyone to today's ERAMSIC meeting. Just as a note, we plan to have a meeting in 4 weeks' time again. That's on March 4th. And there was no homework for today. We have our usual discussion topic. That's the ERAM development update by Owen. And then we want to focus on today on implementers topics. There are some new ones. And as a note, there are even more than listed on our agenda for today. And some of those need maybe more participation because they are related to e-holdings or e-usage. And I would suggest we schedule maybe for the next time a meeting where we invite more people, more POs, like Kalila or Stefan for the related topic so that we can have a joint talk on those ones. But for today, we have a list of implementers topics. And with that, I think we can start with the development progress update by Owen. And I will stop sharing so that you can take over, Owen.
Excuse me. Thank you, Martina. Just I think a pretty brief development update. The main piece of development that I can talk about this week is that we have been working on adding the acquisition units functionality into the licenses app, and that work is in QA now. So if you use the on snapshot, oh, that's not snapshot. The snapshot system, you should see that licenses can now have acquisition units assigned. And this works, this is intended to work in exactly the same way as it does in agreements, which is to say you can set an acquisition unit on a license. So if I set up an acquisition unit, and maybe a couple. And assign myself as a user. Then when I create or edit a license, I can select acquisition unit from the available the ones that are available to me and that can be assigned to this license. And so with this one, you have to be a member of the a one acquisition unit in order to be able to edit or create or delete this license. And if I add an amendment to the license, this works in the same way as with agreements and agreement lines. You don't assign an acquisition unit directly to an amendment, but it inherits it from the license. So, just as in agreements, the agreement line inherits the acquisition unit from the agreement, the in licenses, the amendment inherits the acquisition unit from the license that it belongs to. And so we can see acquisition units on the license and on the amendment as well. So that's in testing right now. There is a unrelated issue that is affecting filtering on acquisition units. It's nothing to do with the acquisition unit filter, the acquisition unit functionality, but to do with the filtering control. So this kind of filter, any filter that works like this, actually was broken, but maybe it's been fixed. I did see something. Okay, it looks like that's been fixed. Okay, in which case, actually, now we should be clear to have that implemented in the in licenses as well. So there will be filters for the acquisition units in the licenses search and in the amendment search. I think those are in code review right now, so they should be through to quality assurance very soon. And I think that is the main piece of functionality that we have that I can actually demonstrate today. There's been some other work on the GoKB integration in GoKB search integration and into the PushKB updating of the local knowledge base, but I don't have anything to show on that, and that's probably better shown to the local KB group anyway. So, but that license acquisition unit stuff is obviously available to everyone. Are there any questions or comments on that? Okay. In which case, I guess we can switch to the implementers topics. So the I think that we could maybe talk about the first one, display order of license terms on an agreement, and the last one, in together maybe, because they cover, I think, the same concept at least, which is about the display of license terms on an agreement. And I'm not sure there's anything very controversial here, certainly in the first case. So if we define some terms, on that, and then I create an agreement. Credit agreement and assign a license to it. Then we get the license and business terms. I think the first thing here is the order. So we can see immediately actually that the first one that was on the list when we were editing the license was this one, and the first one on the list is actually this. And if we look at the settings in licenses, each term has an order weight. And essentially, the lower the number here, the higher up the list it should come. So heavy things drop to the bottom, light things float to the top, if we like. So minus one is obviously the lowest number on this list. And so we'd expect that to appear first, which it does when we look at the license, but not when we bring those things through to the agreement. I can't see any reason why that behavior wouldn't be desirable, but I do want to check with everybody here that I'm correct in thinking we should just obey that weighting when displaying the information here.
There is a pro by Jessica. Thumb up. And I can just confirm that I heard that from libraries in our network as well, that both topics, both sorry, my English today isn't very good. Both requirements that are listed in the implementers topics that we have just demoed on are desired by our institutions, definitely. So no objection from our side. Yeah, and Jason says this would be very helpful for us in chat as well.
And sorry, Sarah's comment, I don't, is that from on some other?
I think that's on the other topic, the next
Okay.
implemented topic.
We'll pick that up when we talk about the other topic.
Yeah, and I know that Lola and Vidya isn't here as well. Lola couldn't attend today, but if there are no objections, then I think we can progress without
Well,
anything.
so Lola's is the other issue, right? Which I haven't
Yeah,
shown yet. Yeah. Okay.
exactly.
Okay. The weighting looks like a straightforward thing. Let's talk about Lola's request. So the other thing you can do to organize license terms is that you can assign license terms categories. So let's say we want to have a category of access terms. And let's make a couple of these access terms. So now if I look at the license, you can see that split out from the general terms, I've now got my access terms. And that's separated as a different accordion. But again, when I look at the agreement, there's no change to the display here. This is still displaying in the same way. Now, I don't know how many people are using those categories right now. It definitely makes sense to me as a request that those kind of way of kind of categorizing the terms should be preserved when we view the license. But I think we have a challenge here which is we already have the terms showing in an accordion. And I guess the question would be, and we can't have sub accordions. So the question would be, how should we handle that breakdown into the categories? First of all, are people happy with the idea we should preserve those categories and present the license and business terms in the categories? And secondly, whether we should perhaps have multiple accordions here. So rather than just having a single accordion for the license and business terms, should we have multiple ones based on the license term categories? Or should we have maybe subheadings within this? So have a single accordion as now, but break it down into sections. As far as I know, we can't have kind of collapsible sections, but we could have sections or something else, maybe a drop down, which allows you to just filter the list to the appropriate category. Are there any views on like preferred ways of doing this? And if anybody thinks, well, we should just not be using those, then feel free to like say, I think it's just going to overcomplicate the interface.
I can again just speak for the GBV libraries, and there we have really many libraries who would like to see the categories or the same categorization and agreements. I don't know whether libraries would prefer subcategories in the license and business terms accordion or individual accordions. I would need to check that. My first very private thinking would be that just this one accordion, but then sorted content would be fine. But we have comments in chat. Jessica says she likes the idea of having subcategories. And Felix writes, one idea that comes also to my mind, it can be useful to have the ability to set what terms should display in the agreement when setting up the license. Because not all terms are important for the agreement that are recorded in the license.
Interesting. Felix, would that be different from license to license, or is it something you'd want to define at the term level?
Oh, yeah. It just comes to my mind because we've added more and more terms in licenses because life changes and the world changes, and that's really the tool that our licensing department is using compared to the typical librarian user who is using the Agreements app and just want to look up, I don't know, the typical example would be ILL terms and maybe remote access. So that is the stuff from a license that librarians in day-to-day use on like the information desk or in the ILL department really care, but they don't care if the what's the legal status of the license or if it's based on German law or US law or I don't know UK law. So we are really having a lot of details in the license record. And maybe if you just have a subset, so I don't know how other libraries are doing that, but if you just have like 5 to 10 terms that you really care for the agreement side, then we wouldn't have to, try to break it into multiple subheadings or categories. We could do anyway, but maybe it's not too cluttered at all. And maybe it's just an addition. So introduce subheadings and also have a way to specify on licenses side what you want to display in agreements.
I don't, can anybody on the call, any people on the call speak to whether they use the license the categories for license terms, and if so, how many categories might a library have for those license terms? I guess I'm trying to get an idea of whether if we were to do one accordion per category, we could end up with, 10 accordions, which might be a bit too much, or whether, okay, six from Felix. Any other, can anybody else share? I don't know if it, as I say, I'm not quite sure how common it is to have implemented that.
I don't know. Sarah is raising her head. I'm not sure. Do you want to say something to that, Sarah?
No, it was
Okay.
more to what Felix was saying before.
Sorry.
Well, go ahead, Sarah. Let's follow up on that other point from Felix.
So I have not implemented licenses, right? So I'm just saying that up front. But what Felix was saying totally made sense to me. If I were to implement licenses eventually, I will get there. And with that, I was wondering if anybody else were on the call too that had already tried to leverage displaying certain license terms in whatever Discover layer they are using, right? And so whether these two things could be coupled together, right? Like if we say, oh, in licenses, we have these subcategories, and some we want to have show up in agreements, and then these other ones we want to have push out to our whatever our Discover layer, like that the same functionality could be then implemented at the same time, because I know there is definite interest in that. And again, what comes into play there is that not all things are equally desired to be shown, for example, to the public or to your usual ERM person who just needs to know, can I share this or not, right? Or what our access policies are for remote learners or whatever, versus exactly that, right? The true license terms and agreement, the real meat of it. Those are three different things, and it would be nice to be able to control that. And it seems to me like it could be the same mechanism, but I'm just throwing
So,
that out there.
you can already control what displays to the public.
Okay, so maybe
So,
then that could
each
be leveraged.
term has a visibility option. And so, if we have a look, then we can make this either public or internal. And so that would control about whether it was may so if you use the implementation that I know EBSCO use for at least some clients in their discovery layer, only publicly visible terms get passed over the API used by the discovery layer.
So it
But
would
obviously,
seem to me that then we would just have three terms here.
I don't think that would work because you've got two different things, right? Whether you want it to appear on the agreement and whether you want it to be public. And you could have yes agreement, no public. No agreement, yes public, or yes agreement, yes public, no agreement, no public. So you need different controls on those, right? So something like some confidential license term that you're not allowed to share publicly, you might still want to appear on the agreement. But I guess equally, you might have something that maybe you don't need on the agreement, but you will share publicly. I guess at least it's difficult to rule out that that might happen. You could, I mean, you could, I guess you could make it just a pyramid and say either it appears only within licenses, in licenses and agreements, and licenses, agreements, and public. But that loses one of the, some, yeah, one of the options. I th
I would
think
find it
also.
highly unlikely that you would want to show to the public something you wouldn't also then show in agreements, because then if I was trying to help the public, I might go to agreements. And then if I didn't see what they were seeing, I would be really confused as a
Yeah, I mean,
frontline person.
I think it's a fair point, although I would also say I'm often highly surprised by things that people want. Sometimes people want surprising things, but yes, I don't disagree with you, Sarah. Really, it does seem like a unlikely scenario. Although the other thing that occurs to me, just because we're talking about it in terms of categories, is that the other way of approaching what Felix said has suggested would be to have, and from his initial description, which I would say totally, you know, I think he's just thinking off the top of his head. It's not, he's not sat down and done analysis on this or thought about it, but that maybe it would make sense to be able to define the categories that display on the agreement as opposed to the individual terms, because he was talking about, you know, it might be the question about which jurisdiction is being followed for this license is probably detail that day to day, you don't need to know. But access terms are always of interest. So it could be that that's a category by category decision as opposed to a term by term decision, which might, or and maybe both would be useful because it would allow, again, the flexibility of suppressing a whole category or suppressing particular terms within the category. I guess that, okay, in terms of actions, my feeling is that for the first one, it sounds like we should follow the same sorting as in licenses. And I can create a, and I should be actioned to create a JIRA issue, JIRA story to implement that. If Martina, could you add an action for me to do that?
Yep, I will.
On the other front, I think that maybe it sounds like this is probably a good idea, but we need to agree on the best approach. And probably the best thing to happen there is for me to get some mock-ups done for people to comment on. And perhaps alongside that, including that those mock-ups, a the option to control what displays and what doesn't display, as requested by Felix, at least to, so we don't lose that. So I guess I'll bring those designs back to a future meeting. Are there any other comments or questions on that.
I see Felix.
I lowered my hands and then I raised it again. I'm not sure how many people are doing that, but we've designed our terms that we have values that could be strings or one of the multi-select lisps. So the like a reference vocabulary. Then we have the internal node field, and that is where we also put the paragraph, so the excerpt from the license text. So for instance, if you have, let's keep it with ILL, we can say ILL is allowed or is not allowed. Can we send electronic copies? So we have a distinction there, and then we or our license managers are copying the paragraph of text into the internal comment. That is something that can be really long, and when you look at the agreement and the license and business terms, then you can have a long list of text, but the thing you are just care is the value that has been set, because you can read the paragraph, but you won't understand it because it's like a business text or a law language. But I just realized then that we don't have a specific field to keep the, so it's the internal node field, but we don't have re really a field or subfield for the actual paragraph. And we have been discussing that a long time ago. But then we didn't add it because it would introduce a change to the data model. So I'm wondering if we are going to discuss that, should we also consider having a new subfield and then potentially suppressing that as well from the view in the agreements app?
So
Because
I think.
sometimes the internal comment could be valuable and we use a delimiter field. So then we have a comment and then the paragraph.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, you're right. We did discuss this a long time ago. So I think it's a separate issue. The challenge we have there, or a challenge we have there, is that the terms are essentially a kind of custom field, and they share that with the supplementary properties in agreements, and they're the same implementation. Now, what you are asking for is for there to be essentially an additional field that that references a document essentially from which the term is derived. And the problem with that, or the challenge for us from the implementation perspective, is that that definitely takes us into a very specialized view of what the term is, as opposed to being just a customized field. Now, honestly, we're already part of the way down that road with things like visibility, but it is quite generic at the moment, and that means that we can reuse it. I think that if we were to add something as specific as a field to hold the text from which this value derives, then it feels like we've gone down a very specific route there, which probably means we have a split between the vision of what a supplementary field or supplementary property in an agreement is and a term in a license, which means we'd have to split the implementation. So that's the challenge there. And I'm not saying that challenge can't be overcome, but I think it takes us into a different arena of it's a change to the data model, which would require us to do something a bit extra. And I don't want to, no way trying to dismiss the idea or say we can't do it. It's definitely possible. It's just, I think, a little bit more, probably a little bit more than what we've been discussing this morning. Sorry, this afternoon. Today, let's say today, other time zones. I do think you're right. You're fair. It's fair to raise it. It's something you asked for a long time ago. I would like to be able to re look at these terms and how exactly we record them. I'm just wondering what action to capture so that we do actually come back to this and without maybe adding additional baggage to the more obvious changes I can see us making as a result of the other two influences topics.
Should I add it to the implementers topic and label it like it's in the ice box and it's frozen for now?
I'm not sure. Do we already have it somewhere? Let me check that before you do that. Give me a second. Because I remember that we discussed it. And I would like to add that just recently someone else asked me whether we have discussed that in the past, because this seems to be a very useful functionality that people would like to see.
Yeah, I have to admit, this has been slightly on my mind recently, but from a different angle about how we about the functionality required for like licensed documents and interrogating them. But yeah, I haven't been thinking about this specific issue. And I think it's a absolutely fair request and makes complete sense to me as a piece of functionality. I understand why you'd want it, why it's useful. So we should definitely consider it as a future development. Are you still looking, Martina?
I didn't really find it in our implementers list, but I'm trying to rephrase my search and I will check in Jira as well and give feedback.
Okay, let's have that as an action, and then we can look at. Okay, so we've got clear actions on those two. So let us look at the. I think Jason is with us actually. Did I see Jason on the call? Yes. So, Jason, do you want to talk about this one? Give us the rundown.
Basically, we would like to have some way for the like on an agreement line, when it's connected to the PO, to have some information from the PO line showing on the agreement line screen so that you don't have to, because it shows already if you connect it to a PO, it's the link to the PO itself is all the way over to the right side, and then you have to say, so you have to sc vertically scroll or horizontally scroll, click on that, and then scroll down to the bottom to see any of the information that you might be, or well, you have your to and from there up at the top of the screen, but even just like financial information or anything, it's difficult to navigate to get that from an agreement line. So it'd be nice if there was any way to show some of that information in the table there that you get for the agreement line if you have a linked PO.
Let me link a PO. So, this is what you've got, right? So, you get kind of minimal information from the POL here. So, what about the active from active due dates based on the subscription dates in the connected
Yeah, because
POL?
you have that active to and from already on the
Yeah.
agreement line level, and that's something you have to manually change.
Yeah. But when it's linked to the
If I have someone who's working primarily in order records, paying invoices and that type of thing, currently not using the subscription to and from dates in the order records just because of this, so that we don't have to duplicate any effort. It would be nice if they would be able to put that in and have it show on the agreement line.
so there are, I guess,
If it's linked to a PO.
I guess that there's a question of whether the, and that this is, and there was a, so. Okay, so Sarah says block automatically happening, and Margaret essentially says something similar. Okay, so I suppose there are two questions here, or maybe more than there are more than two questions here. The first question I'd ask Jason is like display of that information versus overriding the information. So we could certainly, so expanding the information that displays here should be relatively straightforward. Like we pull in the data from, so let me just see. When we display the agreement line, right. Then somewhere in here we'll be retrieving the order. Maybe that one. Yeah. So we get the full order line record. back here, and we're just choosing. So I think that should have the subscription dates in it somewhere. Hopefully.
I guess I'm also just for the people who don't want it to override, and I understand that. What how are I'm curious to know how people are using it, where the dates for the subscription to and from in an order record, like in an order line, would be different from the active to and from on the agreement line. I'm curious to know a scenario where that would be the case.
Sure, I can speak to that a little bit. There are often times where we have perpetual access to something, but pay an access fee, and I don't necessarily want the dates in the agreements app to indicate we're going to stop having access to something. I also come from an institution where acquisitions and the folks working with orders are incredibly understaffed. And so I have more data that I include in agreements than they include in the orders app. And so I wouldn't want the null info that they have to override the info that I have added to an agreement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So on the agreement line level, you currently use the active from and active to like so do you, so if like in a case of something that's perpetual access, do you just fill out the active from and you leave the active to blank?
Sometimes I try to not do it on the agreement line level unless I have to, just because it's a lot harder to sort by that. So on,
Yeah.
if I've got, so like if we're backing, I guess another example is backing open access journals, right? So like if we have pledged 3 years of money to a journal, I want to record that that's how long we've pledged money, but I don't want that to be linked to subscription. I'm having problems with English today too. I wouldn't necessarily, I'd like to indicate how long we've paid for something, but I don't know that that's necessarily something that the acquisitions folks here would think about as a subscription period. So like it
Yeah.
just gets a little bit muddy.
Yeah, sure. I understand that. I think Sarah has her hand up.
I actually do the acquisitions and the agreements part. So different from Margaret's institution, and I use those dates in each of the apps differently. So I wouldn't want to have those over the one override the other because I'm making use of them differently, let's put it that way. Also, for ongoing orders, for example, I have a way of indicating in my orders that it's ongoing, and I'm recording the subscription period at the invoice level. So I go down to my related invoices, and that's where I see I paid for this date to this date, and bang, 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 and all of those are listed there. I don't actually have that up in my subscription to from section of the POL. There, I do this thing that very often the from is empty and my subscription to has 12/31/2099. And then in agreements, I very often have the active from, but not the active to. And for example, that active from is frequently for all the things migrated. A 1/1/2006. And that to me is a flag to mean we've had this longer than I can find records for. It seems to have
Okay.
been around forever, right? And it's
Yeah.
just going forward. So I use these dates in very particular ways. And if one app were starting to override another app, that would like eliminate all that work I've
That
done
makes
and
sense.
all the flags that the information it provides.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, is it possible to make the table that displays on an agreement record where it shows agreement lines, the little table that shows each agreement line. If it would be possible to configure what that shows on an individual hour instance of Folio,
So
choose what displays there and where it comes from.
that I think is harder because I'd have to double check this, but from memory, I don't think we do an order line level retrieval for this table because that can give you performance issues.
Yeah, it's the active from active to of the agreement line underneath the parent agreement text. So it's those two things that you fill out. It doesn't come from the POI.
Yeah, I know it
So
doesn't. I was wondering. So I guess, yeah, if you're saying you can't pull from an
I'm
order
not sure
record.
actually. I mean, I think that generally we wouldn't just substitute them, but if we are retrieving that data, which it looks like we might be,
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you are retrieving the data, if you could like say go to settings, agreements, and then
Well,
say here's what I'm.
I think what we'd do is add more columns, and then you'd be able to control
Oh, you
whether
could
they
toggle them
displayed or
on and
not.
off. Right. Okay. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, if you were pulling in several
So
orders, then I mean it
I
would be
think
even
we
cool. I could.
obviously are. So it looks like we are pulling that. So I think that could be a possibility, yes.
Okay. That would be really great if even like
And
I
we
could
could
pull in.
also add it to this display here.
Yeah. If you change where you're pulling the data from, will you make the name change too?
So no, what I was saying is we wouldn't check, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't be using that to populate the existing column. We would have PO subscription
Okay.
date. We'd have new columns,
Yeah.
and you'd just have to decide whether you wanted to show or hide them using this control.
No, that would be really good just because that would allow us the flexibility of using those active to and from dates for particular agreements where it made sense for us to use them and not use them for others.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some issues with subscription dates overall in Folio, which, because I'm also PO for serials management, I've been struggling with a little bit because, as Sarah mentioned, there are fields on the invoice line, there are fields on the purchase order line, there are fields on the purchase order. And they all kind of, for me, overlap in meaning somewhat. And I'm not sure we have consistent usage of those across the community, which
Yeah,
is
that's been
obviously a challenge.
Yeah, that's been the main struggle there.
Yeah, but I think that that is something we could do. Just going back to your request.
Yeah, and that can the wording can be changed to be more in line with what we just discussed because
Okay,
that answers the question.
so I think that as an ask, that definitely seems like feasible to me. I think the issue with overriding, so the thing that's easy here generally is to display information. So information that exists, we can display. As long as we're already retrieving it, then it certainly should be straightforward to display.
Yeah, that's more important to me anyway, so.
The other thing about the active from and active to dates for the agreement line is they do have some functionality, although I suspect for most people it's not relevant. But
Is it related to the like local knowledge base or something, functionality there?
So if you're using with the local knowledge base, that, well, essentially these are dates that tell us that we can use to know whether the agreement line is currently active, and that means that the resources described by your agreement line are currently part of your collection or not. And so overwriting them from the subscription could also make sense for those using the subscription dates in the way in that way, with some provisos that we've just been talking about. But keeping that in sync is the thing that is always a challenge to Folio, right? So where you want those things to stay up to date is always the challenge. And that's the thing that would be again, generally, you can get these things to work, but it becomes a lot more complicated, because we'd have to make sure that Orders was able to push out that information and we were able to consume it. And that doesn't happen at all at the moment. So we've discussed approaches to this previously, like internally, in a lots of different scenarios, not just in agreements, not just for these fields, but it definitely takes us into more complex functionality. So if we wanted to keep those up to date, which I also see as a potentially desirable thing to say, in this case, defer to the dates from whatever, makes a lot of sense to me. Then certainly for dates coming from outside agreements, we'd have to do quite a lot of work to have that keep in sync. Which is whereas I think that just the display options feels like things we could relatively straightforward, it's not, I mean, I'm not sure when we'd get to it, but it definitely doesn't feel like it's a complicated thing to us to do. And if and given, a few days' work, that could be done.
Can I
Okay,
just
I can.
interject also? Like, so I think we're currently only thinking about one POL attached. When
That's
I
a good
have
point.
10, what dates are you going to take for active from active two? Where are they
That's a
coming
good point.
from?
Well, for and that's a good point, actually. Yeah, thanks, Sarah. So for this display, that's fine, but it's a good point for this display. That's a
Oh
problem.
yeah. I don't so that was I don't ever attach multiple PO lines to an agreement line. I do them kind of one to one. That's how I've conceived of it. That makes
Yeah,
sense
I
to me.
don't think we can do you can add additional POLs. It's offered, and I definitely do, and I know lots of other people do. So that would be a very dangerous.
We could potentially take the earliest and latest from the dates available to us.
So that would be, to me, sound like a really, like that doesn't even, so, okay, so we're also thinking subscription periods here. What about my agreement that is for ebooks? And I have an agreement for ebooks, and they're all my ebooks from a specific publisher platform. I've used it then that my active,
Yeah,
the
but
initial date is when I
yeah.
activate it.
No, sorry. I meant in terms of the display. Not I'm not thinking I think the question about keeping these things in sync or up to date, that's
Yeah,
I'm
I
putting that
gave up.
aside for the moment.
Yeah. I kind of gave up on that as a question. I think I'm just thinking about display also.
Again, I guess I don't, I mean, I'm fine with display, but as long as it can be toggled off, that I don't want it to be, I want to be able to control it in each app, what I have, and the one should not necessarily, unless it's really specific, so that upper level active two, this active from active two should remain what it is, and then there should be another field that's called POL active to and
Well, it
from,
no, it
and
wouldn't
it
be
be
active to
labeled
it.
that way.
It would be subscription, and it would have to be earliest POL subscription. I can't remember what the field is called, but it would have to be the name of the field from subscriptions, from
Okay. And
so
so then that would also mean that
earliest
only
subscription from
subscription.
latest subscription to.
So that would also mean that only subscriptions, POLs that are subscriptions, have been designated subscriptions, are going to be pulled, and all others are going to be ignored. So if I have a one-time POL, or if I have a POL that doesn't have subscription checked off, because you can have POLs that are ongoing but not subscriptions.
But
So
if
they
there are
would
no
be
dates,
ignored.
well,
I'm just thinking of
they
like,
wouldn't be ignored. They would just be, there just wouldn't be any data to put in those columns. Like those columns either are there or aren't there, right? Like this table is one table, right? We can't, once you have a column heading, it's a column heading. And you can show and hide those column headings using this control. But if it,
and that
if,
lasts beyond one time. Like
sorry?
I would have to go in every single time I go to agreements fresh after logging in and out every evening and changing my column headings display.
Well, currently that works for a browser session, I believe. So if you are shutting down your computer each night, yes, that would have to be reset. I don't think we don't currently have in Folio as a whole the option to do anything else. Although that
Yeah,
said, there
that was
is
what I was.
now a user profile
Oh.
thing that's been introduced, which has started to implement these kinds of options. But as yet, that isn't at an app level, it's at a general Folio level.
Well, this makes, I'm wondering if there's a, this is a question I have about this, would be just as part of the settings application for like the portion for agreements, if you could on agreements line set up a like default column display there and have it default to that for all users. And then, you know, you if there's something you want to see differently, then you change it at the user at the session level when you're doing it, you know, and that way you could have it display the way you want all the time, unless there's something particular you're wanting to see on a particular agreement at a particular
So
time.
what, so based on what we've discussed, adding to, sorry, wrong one, wrong screen. Adding that data to this screen is, I would say, very straightforward. We could only display it if those fields were populated, so we wouldn't be displaying it if the fields weren't populated, and it is very clearly displaying that information from the PO line. Each PO line gets its own, what's called, these are called cards. That each PO line gets its own card here, so we don't have to do any manipulation of the data. We just display the data from the POL, and this is just essentially, can you display two more fields than you currently display? I feel that's straightforward as a request and hopefully relatively uncontroversial. I do understand Sarah's point that not everybody uses those fields or uses them in the same way, but I think if we only display them if they're populated, then feels a reasonable ask to me and
And
a
that would
compromise.
be within that card. That totally is fine. Like,
Yeah.
then you're just displaying information that just lives somewhere else. That's great.
So,
And it's specific, you know, it's coming from this
yeah.
vendor.
So I think that we should action to do. Oh, it's 5 past the hour. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry. But one last thing about that on the cards. Once we add that as an action, can we decide if there are additional fields we would like to display there, like encumbrance or like, you know, that type of thing?
Anything that is directly in the order line response, I'm happy to consider. If it requires additional fetches based on information that we've already fetched, that's where it becomes complicated. So if you have to do a chain of fetches, like fetch the PO line and then find the funds that are encumbered and then fetch the fund name, that's where I would say no, or at least not in a straightforward way. But if it is already coming back in the PO line response, then I'm very happy to consider adding that to the display.
Okay,
I
so if
mean,
you make like a ticket or something for this, could you just
yeah.
put what comes back with the so that we know what the options are?
I
Like what
can
gets
link
fetched?
to the API documentation.
Okay.
Probably the simplest thing to do because it's, well, you saw the JSON, but I'm happy to. I mean, if people want to just throw things into that thing, I can then find out what we can and can't do based on your requests. That's fine. I think in terms of adding display here, I think that there are definitely some more things to discuss. Firstly, there's the fact that you can have more than one PO line. And secondly, there's the issue that I think we're getting quite strong pushback from Sarah, like about having extra noise here when it's not relevant. We could potentially have a display setting in agreements that allows you to control that. So we already have some display settings and we could add some more for the tenant level. So we could add in some configuration for the tenant, display or don't display these things. But that goes for every single screen is the challenge. And then like you've got a question about where do we start, where do we stop, where do we draw the line?
I mean,
But there's, no reason not to particularly. We already have that for some things. But it's tenant level. And then we have the user level configuration, which is, I think, a whole other challenge. So I think we should discuss those a bit more. But that shouldn't delay us in getting the first Jira ticket written for the
For the cards.
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I know we're over, but I just the problem I little I'll try to be quick. The problem for us is just with the agreement lines by default pulling so much from the knowledge base that we don't use is that you have just like you showed there, if it's linked to a PO and it's what do you call that where it's not connected, the agreement line's not connected to something from the knowledge base, and instead, well, if it's connected to eHoldings, for instance, a package in eHoldings, then yeah, you just have a big blank list that is, a big blank line thing from there. And you
Yeah.
can, I know you can toggle those columns off, but it would be nice to have some useful information there.
Yeah.
So,
Point. Yeah. It's fair. Okay. Apologies to everyone. I hadn't realized we had run so long. Thank you for those who stayed to the end. I will definitely create a ticket for that one. And maybe, Martina, we should have a future discussion on the our options for controlling the display at a tenant level.
It's noted.
Okay, thanks all. Thanks for your engagement as always, and thanks for those who've stayed to the very end of the call.
Thank you for the lively discussion.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have
Have a
a
good
good week,
day.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.